We'll start in Luke 16. And I hope that I can make clear what I want to say to you. I hope the thoughts will not be rambling. And that I will be able to get it across to you. Luke 16. And I want to read, or you read with me, the account, part of the account of a rich man. Now, Abraham told him, "Son, remember." And that's what I want to deal with, "Son, remember." I do hope the Lord will give you a good hearing and me a good utterance. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we know, we've heard, there shall be nothing covered in that day, nothing hid. Darkness can't. That which is buried in our own hearts, it will be brought to light if we're outside the Lord Jesus. Father, I ask for wisdom and unction, guidance, direction by the Spirit of God, lest I'm speaking in vain. Make clear, give these an understanding, and would you grant us all an honest searching of hearts and set Christ before us again in His glory. Not all, we could not handle that, but just let us see another little aspect of that great gem with light shining upon it. We ask these things in Christ's name, for His honor and glory. Amen. Luke chapter 16. And beginning with verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off You notice that's a plural for torments. Immediately following that, sees Abraham far off. And that poor man in life, in Abraham's bosom, roles have reversed. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." You will notice there that he did not ask to be where Abraham was or Lazarus was. He knew he was unfit. All he wanted was a drop or two of water. And Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Beginning the second month of the new year for you, and I do not come, cannot come with the same message that Abraham had for the rich man. But I come with that message, "Son, remember." And here it added torment, greater torments, to the rich man, just being able to recall. "I had this opportunity in life. I did not avail myself. I was self-consumed, and now I've lost everything." He's speaking to one in hell. You are not there. So I use the word "remember" as an exhortation through the rest of this year and life, however how long you will be here, concerning things of eternal value and eternal weight. Hebrews 2:1, "We ought therefore to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest they should slip at any time." And you will let them slip, I will. But we go back and we read again, and the Lord reminds us, maybe adds to it, but you've got to give earnest heed to what you've heard. Now it is said of the rich man that in hell he lifted up his eyes. Well, the only thing in hell of the rich man is his soul. That's all. His body has gone back to the dust from which God created all of us. So it had to be the eyes of his soul. And throughout life, his soul never looked up, never needed anything, never needed God. It never looked outside itself. And his natural eyes only looked at things that were all around him. Solomon said in Proverbs 27, "Hell and destruction are never full." So the eyes of man are never satisfied. You get and you want something to go with it. And you work so that you can have this, go here or go there. And it might satisfy for a moment, but it's not lasting. You have to come back home, get back in routine. New car gets old, and the new appliance wears out, and the soul, the eyes of man are never satisfied. But I'm not speaking about hell in particular this morning, but I'm speaking to you, the children of God. I wish that would include everyone here, but not, it is not so yet. But I'm speaking to you, the children of God. Remember. Hearken to me, Isaiah 55, ye that follow after righteousness. If you're not following after that, I've got no word for you, God said through Isaiah. Hearken, listen to me, hear what I'm saying. Look unto the rock from which you were hewn. And look into the hole of the pit in which you were digged. You go back and you remember and you look. And you look what it took to stop you and turn you around. And look where you were headed and the hole of the pit that you were dug from and brought into the family of God. It took a sovereign, gracious work of the Spirit to lift us from the pit of humanity and my worst enemy, my total depravity. If God had not done it, it would not have gotten done. But I carry with me a depraved nature. And there must be a continual bringing above and out of that for me to see and to consider Christ and all that He's done. He, God, through the Spirit, had to bring us first of all to conviction and make us know you're in a lost state and lost condition. Before He ever sets before the eyes of a sinner under conviction, the Spirit of God has already made them aware of that. And then He'll set the work of Christ before you. Who He is, what He did, what He accomplished, and what those words mean when He said, "It is finished." And the Spirit of God will have to be to you as Abraham's servant was to Rebecca. He'll have to come after you. Then He'll have to lead you. Ever how many days it took to get back, He'll have to lead you back to your future spouse. Except the church is His spouse to Christ in time. And the Spirit of God will point a convicted sinner to the cross. But thousands died on crosses under the Roman Empire. But He'll point you to the one on the middle cross. And there make application of the shed blood. Now this is something that I wish that we all could daily remember the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Hebrews 9:22. And before any entered into the tabernacle, they first went by that altar of burnt offerings. Shedding of blood, the application of that blood before they entered in there. That sacrifice completely burned up, and they were made aware of that. Now here's something of eternal value and eternal weight you must have frequent dealings with. Not way back then, when you were first converted, but as oft as you know you have sinned against the Lord, you've got to come back to the shedding of blood. That's the only thing that will cleanse. Now, two places in Deuteronomy, God said, "Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul with all diligence, lest you forget." Some of you have been in tight places, difficult straits. You thought, when the Lord gets me and brings me out of this, I'll always keep it in mind, but we don't. Keep thy soul diligently, lest you forget. Then beware, lest you forget the Lord that brought you forth out of the land of bondage. Now, folk, how could we forget Calvary? You tell me. Well, I think you will admit this, though we do not know the extent. There dwells in each of us a heart that has pride. And that, along with other sins, can grow apart from our nearness to the cross of the Lord Jesus and to that shed blood. The old hymn writer, "Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. Upon the cross of Jesus, mine eyes at time can see the very form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears these wonders I confess, the wonder of his glorious love and my own worthlessness." You got to stay near the cross. You've got to keep the blood of the Lord Jesus and it being sprinkled afresh and anew upon any sin you become aware you have committed. Now, if you do not stay near the cross, pride is going to continue to develop. And we all will begin to feel that our knowledge, our self-denial, our labors, our kind acts to other people, and our good life we live, we will begin to think this will procure to us fitness for God and God's home. Nothing will, except the blood of the Lord Jesus. We, having pride within, we will work and pray our way to heaven. And you'll get to the point you'll be dependent upon everything except his cross. You ought to read. You must pray. You will pray if you're a child of God. You will study if you're a child of God. You will attend places of worship. It's all in vain. Unless I see the value of the one dying there for me. And I do not look at anything that I do, have done, or might do in the future. There's my only hope, the Lord Jesus. At the foot of Calvary, we find, apart from everything we can do, and you ought to do good, and all the things that I've mentioned, but at the foot of Calvary, we find one sufficient sacrifice for all of us that are undone. I suspect, knowing a little about you by knowing me, that when the Lord seems to be far away, you'll read an extra chapter, pray an extra 5 minutes. I'm not telling you not to do that, but in all that you do, you can't look at anything. You've got to always go back to Calvary. And God said, take heed lest ye forget. And I exhort you to remember. Remember the pit, the hole of the pit from which you were digged. Remember the rock from which you were hewn out. Remember. Folk, it is even more important today that you continually run to Calvary, where in light of all that was done there, everything around you will find a proper place. I mean, we're fixing to be living in difficult days. Evil abounds around us, and as John said, we don't know a fourth of it. Less than that. It's covered up. We're witnessing the collapse of a country, and we stay busy. Now Luke 21. And folks, you gotta work. I don't minimize that. I mean, Adam had to work before he ever sinned. And you got a family you've got to look after. All of that before sin. And sin didn't do away with these things. But we just stay so busy. Luke 21:34. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. Now Abraham's talking to one in hell. I'm talking to you, that you might not go there. And hear your conscience looking at what it's never looked at before. He lifted up his eyes, the eyes of conscience. And everything, you know, it's easier the older we get, the easier it is for us to go back and remember events in childhood than it is to remember the events of yesterday. But we don't forget anything. Recorded in your mind is every event. Whether you remember it or not, it's recorded. that will be added torment if you do not enter into glory. And we get so busy, and we get to looking at things of this old earth and drunkenness. And that's not necessarily, I mean, you could point your finger at those out there that are drunkards, but you can get drunk on things other than alcohol. And we would condemn alcohol, and I'm not taking up for it, but you're not doing that. But are you drinking? You're drinking in the poison of the soul world. And folk, we often become like little children playing with the neighbors, and we forget to get home when we're supposed to. It was our early years. A boy, he would ride his bike on Sunday afternoons, mile and a half or 2 miles up the road. And we would get so involved in playing football. And one day, his dad pulled up beside the road. And this fellow said, "Uh-oh, I forgot to go home when I was supposed to." Aren't we like that? Uh-oh. I didn't take care of the most essential things in life. God forbid that I should glory, save or except in the cross of Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. An active life lived with the cross brings crucifixion to things around you. Brings crucifixion to you yourself. As far as old nature. Children, I repeat to you again that the cross of our Lord was, though that was a once in a lifetime event, 2,000 years ago. But if I am only connected to the cross by an intellectual assent to its truth, and it has no daily practical value in my life, then I've never been united to a dying, living Savior. It's not a fact in history, though it happened, though it is recorded time and again in Scripture, unless it becomes a daily practical, of a daily practical value to me living, then I don't know what the cross is. And I cannot, and I must not drift in mind or in heart far from the cross. You've got to take care. Now, your job probably requires much of your mental ability, and you've got to take care of that. Not taking away from that. But I'm talking about in your free moments. I'm talking about in that time that you've made. You cannot drift. Son, keep remembering the cross and the shed blood that only can wash away your sins. It was from the cross 2,000 years ago that the great author of faith exercised that. which would be implanted into every born again believer. Now you name me one thing that he had hanging on the cross. He was dying because he was a sinner. Well, not sins he had committed, but he had charged to his account the sins of every person that will be in glory with him. He's dying as a sinner. He's dying with his Father's face turned from him. And yet, in that moment, in that time, the greatest exercise of faith there has ever been, he did so. Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. That's all he had. Just a pure, naked word of God. His Father said, I'm not going to leave you in hell. It'll be over. You die, and you will have paid an eternal hell. Now that's where faith had its origin, on Calvary. Now that same faith becomes operative in the children's hearts. A man, Galatians 2:16, is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, not mine. You've been in straits where you wish that you could exercise faith. Well, if I could just believe. It's his faith. It's made operative only by his Spirit. And his faith is implanted in every child of God. So children remember throughout the days of the year that you have left. It is the faith of Christ that brings you into vital saving union and connection with the living Lord. It's through that faith I come to rightly conceive of his work on Calvary and the value of his shed blood and his eternal sufferings. And then by faith entering into that door, I begin to view his riches, his merit, which flow to every believer from the work, merit, person of the Lord Jesus, and even have foretaste of his glory. And by his faith, I'm enabled to lay hold of his righteousness, his atoning blood, his forgiveness, his providing hope, peace, pardon, and then one day guiding me through the valley of the shadow of death, upholding me through that. That's all included at what Christ purchased for every believer, leading us into that eternal kingdom of the glory of our Redeemer. Son, dear children, remember his suffering, his shedding of blood. Remember Calvary's cross, which provides everything that you have in him. And remember that salvation is an ongoing, lifelong process. Well, let me just be frank as I can be. If any of you are depending upon a decision that happened way back, and there hasn't been a longing heart to follow after, strive forth you have a false hope. For salvation is an ever ongoing, daily, lifelong process of the children of God being conformed to His image. And in His great salvation, eternal hope continually springs forth until that great day of the Lord when He said, "My child, come up hither." And it all flowed from the Lamb of God crucified. And it is that you must remember on a daily basis. No, you won't do it. We can't do it. But as the old preacher of the last generation said, "Son, preach all the great doctrines of Scripture. Preach them all." But he said, "Don't stay long away from the cross." So I exhort you, live at the foot of Calvary. Live beneath the atoning blood shed at Calvary. Son, remember, take heed to yourself, keep your soul diligently, let not the world or things or events or all the evil that is about us and coming our way, take heed that it does not crowd out Jesus Christ. Take heed that life here does not consume you. Paul said, "But I keep under my body. My body's in chains. And I bring it into subjection." My body, Paul said, is in subjection to the heart God's given me and to the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that He has implanted. My body is a slave to the new creation of God. It's not telling me what to do. It's in subjection to the law of my great Redeemer. What my spiritual, mental ability thinks and what my soul, how my soul directs me, That's my Lord, not my body telling me, do this, do that, go here, go there. Not the world enslaving me. A cross must be a daily, daily part of life. And although everything concerning our eternal well-being springs from that event that happened 2,000 years ago, yet Mount Calvary must be an oft-visited place for you, and there must be present-day application. You sinned yesterday? No, but one thing, running to Christ, having your conscience sprinkled with the eternal blood shed at Calvary. Got to be application to your heart. And the effects of the cross is a lifelong process. I am crucified with Christ. I died. I'm dying. Yet I live. You're talking about a contradiction. Paul just made one. I'm crucified, but I live. But the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So Christ's crucifixion has become a part of my living. I die daily. I close with this. I can't remember her name. I thought about just bringing the hymn book and reading off every stanza. And she died when she was 36 or 37 years old. And she wrote that near the cross. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. My son, remember. In lifetime you've had the gospel as best as I can declare it unto you. You've had folk praying for you. I think the Lord has given us a good church. Not yet what I desire, not yet where we ought to be, but it's a good place. Don't miss heaven with all God has given you. It would be better for you to be just an old, lazy individual that gets up on Sunday morning and has his cup of coffee and breakfast, and then goes on the porch to smoke his cigar and read the paper. You'd be better off being him than being here and not become a doer of the Word of God. He that knew, I'm going to say Luke 12, 48 or somewhere, 46. He that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. See, you know. He that knew not shall be beaten with few stripes. And there will be some in glory, brighter, shining brighter than the stars. There will be rewards. Oh, you don't have to be in the public view. You don't have to hold an office or a place in the local church. There'll be some up there that outshine most of the preachers. Jesse Philpott said that dear old saint on her knees, tears flowing down her face, she's more honored of God than many that loudly send forth his word. You'll be rewarded. As rewards in heaven, so degrees of punishment in hell. Remember, children, and God help us to stay near Calvary's cross.